Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 132.
Further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word that which can be found in the book of Romans, thereof chapter 6. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We will now read the form of baptism, the form for the administration of baptism, as it can be found on page 126 of your the back of your Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who has drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father Brun, Mother Brun, Father DeYoung, Mother DeYoung, Father Griznick, Mother Griznick, Mother Kashahawa, Father Oscom, Mother Oscom? We read the Apostle Paul says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What is that? That is what we call antinomianism, to continue in sin in order that grace may abound. It is a doctrine which says that we may enjoy the blessings, the benefits of the covenant of grace without a renewal of our life. That is a doctrine that says we want to be forgiven, but we do not want to live a holy life. And that is now contrary to the very purpose of redemption itself. That is not that we be delivered only from the guilt of sin, but that we may be delivered from the power of sin. And that is therefore why the apostle says here, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptized into Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We read in the Bible about being baptized unto Moses. That means that the people, they were united to Moses. And they became followers of Moses. Paul speaks about being baptized as a church into one body. That means that we become united unto that one body. What does it mean when it says that we are baptized into Jesus Christ? That means to become united unto him. That is, in death. As many of us as were baptized into his death. That is, just as if we ourselves have entered into death with him. And after death, then we are buried. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And what happens when we are buried? Then we are below all the sin that is taking place in this world. That is the privilege of the righteous. That is what it says in the Word of God. Solomon, he says, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the judgment to come, and then there is no more participation in sin. Baptized into his death and buried with him by baptism into death. And after that burial, then comes what? Then comes the resurrection from the dead. And once again, a church that is looking forward to in that resurrection, a new life. A new life that is a life without sin. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That is all now signified here in baptism. What does Paul say? He says it is now a contradiction to be baptized and to walk in the way of sin, because we are not delivered from the guilt of sin, only that we may go forward in this world to walk in sin. But when it is right in our life, then we desire that we are also delivered from the power of sin, from the practice of sin in our life. And thus you have just promised that you are going to instruct your children. So here is now some instruction for your children when they come to those years of discretion, that you have a sign on your forehead, a sign which has a great meaning in the first place, a sign which means that you are dead to sin, that you ought to be separated from sin in all the practice of this life. That is in the first place the responsibility from our side, from the side of your children. But in the second place, when they do fall into sin, that there they may go to a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. Is that not beautiful? Is that not precious? That sign that the Lord has given, that may be on the foreheads of ourselves, and of our children. The Lord give to you wisdom, faithfulness, discretion, the fear of His holy name in the bringing up, in the instructing of your children for their welfare and for His honor. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 275, stanza 4. And after baptism, then we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. So 275, the fourth stanza. As one lays a garment by, thou wilt change the starry sky, like a vesture worn and old, but thy years shall ne'er be told. Stanza 4 of 275. Esther Linda, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Wesley Thomas, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Evie Lene, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jemuel Frederick Pandeleni, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Briella Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Put away to that end all the devices of him that does seek these children, even as he did seek Thy own dear Son, who had to flee in his birth into Egypt. Lord, then he has not changed, and he is looking to destroy the children and the youth. Oh, that Thou may watch over them, that Thou may guide and help these parents, that they may do that work which they have promised to do in all faithfulness and in all diligence, that they may receive from Thee the strength and the wisdom and the tender fear of Thy name to live before them in a godly example, that they may receive wisdom to instruct them, that they may receive a cry to intercede for them, even at Thy footstool, to bring them with body and with soul unto Thee who alone art able to fulfill this sign and seal unto them personally. Lord, then it is a matter which concerns Thy true church. Oh, that Thou may give that they also may be included. That Thou wouldst not leave one of them behind and all of us together. Remember the grandparents that may this day also witness that their seed may be brought into Thy church. O Lord, that they, as they also do become older, that they may be given more and more to give them up into Thy hands, who alone art able to make it well with our children and with our grandchildren and great-grandparents. O Lord, remember us all together, Thy dear children, when they may behold the growth in an outward way, but hear in Thy sacrament Thy promise that Thou wilt never forsake Thy church, and that Thou knowest who are Thine, and that Thou art still bringing them in. O faithful art Thou to Thy own word sworn already in eternity. O that foundation may be opened unto us, that we may receive the knowledge of it, but also the comfort of it, to stand upon that firm rock, that solid ground. O Lord, that Thou may look upon the entire congregation, when we have also that sign upon our forehead. Oh, that the responsibility may be laid heavily upon us, and when we go from this place with all that we have observed, but that also the comfort may reach the hearts of those who are not able to fulfill and who have transgressed Thy holy law. O Lord, if Thou shouldst mark transgressions, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. And then for the worst that is among us, O Lord, remember us, bless Thy word, bless Thy sacrament, and wilt Thou go before us in this day. Be with all that are not able to come among us. Remember her, that mother in the Netherlands, that does lie at the gates of death. O Lord, then she is not very old, but oh, that Thou may look upon her in Thy mercy, and wilt Thou give, that she may enter in through those gates, which Thou hast opened in Thy dear and beloved Son. Oh, that Thou may remember all those that receive treatments, those that recover from surgeries, those that must receive surgeries, all those that mourn the losses of loved ones, especially the children. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest all the mourning. And when we are together with these children, O Lord, Thou knowest all the hearts, uphold and strengthen them in Thy mercy.
And wilt thou give that way that is in the sea, and which we do not understand, oh, that we may come under thee in everything. Be with us this hour, and when we will try to bring a little portion of thy holy word of truth, oh, blessed Lord, and do take us all, young and old, by heart and by hand, and do forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of stanza 400 of Psalter 419. And the last collection today is for the North American General Mission.
Thank you.
words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Romans 6, and thereof the 14th verse. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So far the words of our text. Paul's encouragement to the church militant. First, what this encouragement is: for sin shall not have dominion over you. And second, the basis or the foundation for this encouragement: for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul's encouragement to the church militant, first, what this encouragement is, and second, the basis, the foundation for this encouragement. War, congregation, that very generally takes a long time. The shortest war, boys and girls, I understand, that took 45 minutes. But most wars, they take many years. The longest war, I understand, took 781 years. War is tiring. You can understand that for the soldiers, that they are becoming weary of the fighting, weary in that warfare. And that warfare can also be so very discouraging, especially when the enemy, he has some successes, and when that enemy is able to penetrate somewhat, and then there are discouragements. And not only discouragements, but then there are also oftentimes many fears in the hearts of those soldiers, lest that in the end they be overcome. All wars, they are finding their root in sin. And all temporal wars in this world, they are a consequence of another war. That is the war between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. That is actually the longest war. Began in heaven. That began shortly after man was created. The angels, they were also created. And then came war in heaven. That is what we are not able to understand. And that warfare that has been continued and carried on through this entire existence of the world. And it will not end, not until Satan is himself bound and cast finally into that fiery pit. That war that is joined by every newborn soul, that is joined in the day of their regeneration, that they become part of that war, that they become a soldier in that church militant. That is going to take how long? You know that, children? When will that war be done? That war that is done in the day that they become part of the church triumphant, when they lay down their body of sin and death, and then all that sin that ceases in their life. War that is tiring. Those soldiers, they often become weary in that warfare. And they are often also discouraged in that warfare. Because so often that enemy that is making an insurgence and that is finding a victory in a particular battle, there is also often much fear. much fear in the heart of those soldiers of the church militant. Why? Because they are afraid that in the end they are actually going to be overcome. As Haman the Ezrahite, then he said, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. Already he thought, for sure, I'm going to lose this battle. We can read the Philistines, they have encouraged their soldiers. They said, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants to the Hebrews as they have been to us. Quit yourselves like men and fight. So they encouraged them. They encouraged them lest they will lose that battle. So how did they prod them on? Well, they prodded them on with fear. Fear for death, but fear also for to become a slave, to become a slave of the enemy. So they encouraged their soldiers to fight. In this chapter, we read of Paul's encouragement. That is to that church militant that they will also fight in that battle. He speaks to the soldiers in that battle. Does he also speak to you? Are you also a soldier in that church militant? What does he say? He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, and that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Thus he prods them. The members of that militant church, just like the Philistines, quit yourselves like men and fight. And yet, the basis of that encouragement of the Apostle Paul, that is so very, very different than the basis of the encouragement of the Philistines. It is actually just the opposite, because the Philistines, they used fear. Lest you lose the battle. Lest you die in the battle. And now the Apostle Paul, he is saying exactly the opposite. Then he says to them, because you certainly are not going to lose the battle. Thus, he says, you may go into that warfare without any fear. You do not need to fear that that enemy is going to destroy you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What do you think is more effective? That those soldiers would be encouraged to fight out of fear, or that those soldiers should be encouraged to fight with confidence, with certainty of the victory, that they will overcome at the last, despite whatever battle may be lost. You read of Gideon, that he said to all his soldiers, who's afraid? Are you afraid? Then you may go home. Why? Well, because soldiers that are afraid they cannot fight well, then they are ready soon to turn and to run away. But Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So he assures them of a certain victory. What an encouragement. What an encouragement for that militant church. That is not just the word of Paul. No, that is the word of the Lord, because the Apostle Paul, he was inspired by the Spirit of the Lord from the beginning of that warfare. Since it has begun, since it has been joined by any soul in this whole world from the beginning of the war, there has never been a single soldier that has been lost. Indeed, many battles they have been fought. How many have you fought? Do you fight battles, young people? Do you fight battles with sin, or is sin to us not a burden? Is sin not an evil? Oh, many battles have been fought by that church militant. Many of those battles have also been lost. Think about Noah in his drunkenness. Think about Abraham. She is my sister. And Isaac. And Jacob. Sell me thy birthright. And Hezekiah. Render not unto the Lord the benefits that he had given unto him. Think about Paul. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. What does he say? He says, there are so many battles that I lose. And yet, there is not one of them that has been lost. Every single one of them that has joined that church militant, they have received the victory. Thus Paul, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. What a blessed encouragement to that militant church to whom Paul is speaking, in that church of Rome. That is a word for those who were sorrowful for their sin, with a godly sorrow. That was a word for those who went over the world with a burden of sin. That was a word for those who were weary in that battle. That was a word for those who were often afraid also in that battle. Afraid of what? Well, afraid that sin was eventually, in the end, that sin was going to have dominion over them. Paul says, no, for sin shall not have dominion over you. What a strength then that he gives to that people to teach their hands to war, to teach their fingers to fight with a courage certain of the victory that is soon to be received. Micah, he says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What does that mean? It will not condemn you. He says, O church of God, he says, it will not cast you into hell. He says, it will not separate you forever from the Lord. Oh, it may cause you to need chastisements. It may cause you to need afflictions in this life. Like David, he had to choose. He had to choose because of his sin between three things. Or he says, that may be that you need those afflictions. But, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. It may cause you much grief. Has sin caused you much grief? May cause you much grief in your family. Did in David's family was an affliction of the Lord because of his sin cause so much grief for Jacob? We can read that he could not see for so many years. He never saw the face of his own dear son. That was the son in which he had indulged parents. He had indulged in his son. That is not to instruct our children in the right way. Oh, then Joseph, he also needed to be upheld in that. And the Lord, in his mercy, he took him, he removed him from Jacob, that he could not indulge him anymore. And then the Lord himself, he instructed him. It may cause us great pain. David, he said, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Will you remember that, young people? Remember not, O God, the sins of my youth. Oh, you do not realize. You do not realize when you are young what sin is doing. You do not realize when you are young that sin, that it has so many consequences. Oh, listen. Listen to your father, boys and girls, and listen to your mother. It can be that the Lord has to depart from us, even because of our sin. It can be that he has to send his people, even into captivity, for many, many years. And that you have to cry unto the Lord, and that you have to say, O Lord, why castest thou off my soul? That the Lord has not spoken to your soul in such a long time. O Lord, why hidest thou thy face from me? And yet, Paul says, and yet, sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not condemn you. But not only will it not condemn you, it will not overcome you. It will not overtake you in your life, so that new man that we heard of this morning, so that new man is completely overpowered in your life, as if he does not exist. And that you become like those who do not fear God. Oh, do you not sometimes fear that? When you feel something of the strength of that enemy, do you not sometimes fear that you are going to end just up as the wicked? Do you never fear that you will one day become an apostate? That you will become like Judas? That you will become like Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you never fear you will become like a Saul, a King Saul? He began so well. Oh, he was such a humble man, it seemed. There is now a king for the children of Israel. But now look at his death. Oh, is this not sometimes so discouraging that you say it is no use? Then I give up the fight. But what does the Lord say? He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That is the word of the Lord to that fighting, to that militant church. And why? To encourage them that they do not give up that fight. And he gives for them a basis that they may know what foundation that is sitting upon. But we're going to sing first. 119, 2, 5, and 6. O thou the God of all my strength, why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning all the day, while foes oppress and scoff? While foes oppress and scoff. 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 119.
Thank you.
sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That is the basis, the foundation for this encouragement. There are only two possibilities. They are mentioned in our text. Either we are under the law, or we are under grace. What are you under? Are you under the law? Or are you under grace? Now do you know that? And what basis do you have for your answer? What does it mean to be under the law? That speaks about the first covenant. That speaks about a covenant of works. And that which the Lord has established with Adam as head of all mankind. That he should receive the reward by the fulfillment of the law. That is now the covenant that you and I are born in. Here it is called being under the law. It is only with great difficulty that a man may come to understand that covenant that is broken. Great difficulty. We know it with our mind. But now to experience it in our life, in our heart, that covenant is broken. That is not easy. When the children of Israel, they were at the land of Canaan, and there we read they were to go in, and they rebelled. They said, "We will not go in. We will go back." Oh, then the Lord, he became very angry. He says, "Turn around." Then there were those that said, "No, we will go." The Lord said, "No, you will not go." He said, "We will do it anyway. We will do it anyway." And they were warned. But they were slain. That is now man. That is now what has happened also. When man, he has broken that covenant. When he has rebelled against the Lord. And when that covenant was broken because our flesh, the Lord says, that is now too weak. You are not able to do it. But man says, "No, we will do it. We will do it." That is now the way that we are going to enter into that kingdom of God. What did that rich young ruler say? He says, "Lord, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I still lack? What good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" If you look around in all the religions of the world, then you can see that every false religion that is based upon that broken covenant. There is always something that they have to do, young people. You may study it. You look, find out what they have to do. And in every one of them, then it is showing that man, he does not understand and receive the fact of the brokenness of that covenant of works. It is not only the world, that is all of us. That is every one of us. That broken covenant that is living in our heart yet from our covenant head Adam. And even if the Lord will convert a man, then what does he want to do out of the love of his heart? Then he is going to obey. That is good. But he wants to earn it with that obedience. For ye are not under the law. When the Lord, he is regenerating a man, he is bringing him under a new covenant. And now that new covenant, that has new terms. And that old covenant, the terms of that old covenant, they are done away for that people. You say, do they have nothing to do with the law? Indeed they do. Only read this chapter. It is full of the law. And they are being encouraged to fight against sin. What is that? That is to be encouraged to fight that they may keep that law. Oh, that covenant of grace that has much to do with that law. But that law that is not in the same place as that is in that broken covenant. Because in that broken covenant, and then the Lord said, do this, and thou shalt live. And if you do not do this, then you shall die. They were now the terms of that covenant. And now those terms, they are all done. What does the Lord say? All things are passed away. And all things, they have become new. For, he says, ye are not under the law. Indeed, you are under its commands. Because those commands, they remain. But you are not under its curse. You are not under its punishment. You are not under the obligation to fulfill it in order to merit anything thereby. That is such a difficult thing to learn. That sometimes takes many, many years to learn just this thing. A man, he needs it revealed to him by the Spirit of the Lord. He needs it open to him by the Spirit of the Lord. And then not only once, but often time and time again. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. The Lord says to that militant church, to that fighting church, he says, you must remember that you are brought into a new covenant, a covenant of grace. And what is that grace? Grace is mercy to who? You know that, young people? You can show mercy to someone. You can show mercy to someone who is laying in the street, a homeless man. You can give him a piece of bread. But if that man had just hit you, and now you show him mercy, that is now what we call grace. You say that man that is undeserving of it, and he has just forfeited all his right that you should show mercy unto him. Oh, that is now that covenant that the Lord is bringing his children into. Oh, that is for a people who have not fulfilled and who cannot fulfill the terms of that old covenant because of the existence, the sinful existence of their heart. Grace is not merited. That is impossible. Because that is the very definition of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That is something that is given when someone does not deserve it. Oh, for ye are not under the law, but you are under grace. What the Lord is giving because of his sovereign good pleasure. What the Lord is giving because that he desires it. No man is able to murmur against the goodman of that house. When he does what he wills with his own, when he gives every man a penny, no matter how long that they have labored, or what is it? To be under grace. You see that wonder? Or are you jealous of that wonder? Terms. They are all terms that are fulfilled already militant church. When you are trying still to fulfill those terms in that warfare, that you think you have now to overcome that enemy, that you now have to overcome that sin in order to salvation. No, he said it is finished. Or it was a work of obedience in an active way. It was a work of obedience in a passive way. And he says, now there is nothing more. Nothing more for my people. Or they will come into that warfare, but it does not matter how many battles that they lose, because I have won the battle. And I have put all that sin and also Satan to rout. What did that jailer say to Paul and Silas? He says, sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And what did they say? They said, you don't have to do anything. They say, it is all done already. They said, it is by repentance and faith. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And now that redemption, that is not only to deliver from that guilt of sin. It is not only a covenant that delivers a people from the obligation to merit, but it is also a redemption to deliver that people from a slavish spirit. Or when the Lord, he is delivering his church, then he makes them his children. He makes them his children. Young people, boys and girls, if you have done wrong, I have a question for you. Would you rather that I brought you to the judge, or would you rather that I brought you to your father? You say, bring me to my father. Why? Well, because all the rigor that is taken away. And he will cast a sentence, yes, but it will be with pity in his heart. Because I am his son, bring me unto my father. You know what the Lord is doing? Then he is making them his children. And then he is becoming their father, that is the judge. God's children, when they have to die, and they have to appear before God as their judge, then the judge is their father, O congregation. Then all the rigor for that people, and that is all taken away. And Paul, he is here reminding that church of that privilege. Why? To take away their fear. While they are fighting, and when so many times they are afraid yet that sin shall have dominion over them. They are afraid because they lose so many battles that in the end they are still going to go lost with all the things that have taken place in their life. They can speak of it. They can tell of it. And yet those fears, they remain. Oh, congregation, Paul reminds the church of their privilege. We can fight better when we are courageous people of the Lord. When we are not so discouraged because of the battle losses. And when in the heart then there is an assurance that soon there will be no more losses of those battles. Or that the Lord says sin, and that indeed is not going to have the upper hand. It is not going to condemn you, and it is not going to overcome you at the last. O congregation, are you now under the law? Or are you now under grace? Oh, do you see it, young people? A little bit. We would like to make you so jealous. Is there not such a difference between being under the law and being under grace? Is that not a great privilege? Is that not more than all the riches and everything that can be found in this life? Oh, to be under grace. Are you now under the law or under grace? If you are under grace, then you are a militant, a soldier in the church militant. That has to be your question. Or when we are a soldier in that church militant, then we are under grace. And then that battle that is won already for the encouragement of the fighting of that people. A congregation, when we are yet under the law, then we have to do with the terms of that old covenant. It is either the one or the other. And if we have to do with the terms of that old covenant, do this and live, and one infraction, and you die. And you perish forever. All the requirements, they are still laying there at your feet. And you have to fulfill them all in order that you may meet your Maker in peace. Oh, do you understand it? Oh, we know it in our mind. May the Lord instruct us now in the significance of that baptism. Oh, that is just to wash. That is just to cleanse. That is just to take it all away. And when it is washed by one drop of that blood, then there is nothing else. Then the warfare continues. But the victory, that is sure. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show us the preciousness. And we can but stammer a little, but Lord, it is so high. It is so beautiful. It is so precious. To those who are afraid that sin shall in the end have dominion over them, O thou knowest where they are. Give them a little courage. Give them to see what thou hast accomplished. Oh, give them hands to fight. Teach their fingers to war. Be with us further. Bring us safely to our places. Remember all those who have traveled. Wilt thou keep and protect? And wilt thou give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy? Care for all those who bring thy word, in the reading, in the preaching, also in this evening hour, all thy servants. Gather with us also in this week, when we hope to come together in a day of reformation. Oh, give us a desire to be in thy house. Give us also a word to speak from heaven, that it may be for the good of the souls of each and every one. Do forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, stanza 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power, Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. The sixth stanza of Psalter 422.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.